So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings here. I want to welcome everybody back after what I hope was a safe and very happy Thanksgiving. Having to redo this show because I had an issue with my computer, and at 23 minutes into the show, the program froze, had to reboot, and I lost the entire thing. So, that's always a bummer when that happens, but hey, you know what? Things happen. So I guess I'll take it probably in a little bit different angle this time anyway. But again, I hope everyone had a really safe and happy Thanksgiving. I hope that you were able to spend it with family, or if not family, perhaps with some friends. I know it's always kind of hard when you spend the holidays by yourself. And I can tell you that from personal experience, having spent many, many Thanksgivings and Christmases on my own. Now, not Thanksgiving so much, because generally the family was around for Thanksgiving. But Christmas, I don't think it was until the year before last that my dad was actually home for Christmas. So since like 1986 or 87, I had spent pretty much every Christmas on my own. And what I would do is I would take all the presents that were sent to me by my family down the road to my adopted family's home down the street, and I would open up my Christmas presents with them. So I was at least opening up Christmas presents with someone else, but I was still on my own for Christmas. So finally, at like 81 years of age, my dad decided he was no longer going to make the drive back to Yankee Land to spend Christmas with every other relative except the one that he was actually living with. So I got to spend my first Christmas with my dad in 30-something years. And unfortunately, my dad has been diagnosed with cancer again, and this time it's terminal. There's no way they can cure it, so we have a few Christmases left, and I will cherish those greatly. But I was able to spend Thanksgiving with him again, and this year I spent it with my niece and my two grandnieces and my grandnephew, who is a handful, folks. Let me tell you what. This kid has like dynamite in his pants or something. He's about 4 years old and has the intellect of about a 7-year-old. And he has the patience of, like, I don't know, an 18-month-old. I don't know if he's autistic or just ADHD or what his problem is, but he never shuts up. And he talks about things that are, like, way beyond his age range, but it was just, it was not fun to spend Thanksgiving with someone like that. And I thought that by making my turkey late enough, getting a big enough turkey, it would be later that he would have left the house, which he did. He spent it with his father. Unfortunately, by the time we sat down for dinner, he had already been dropped back off at the house, so the point was kind of moot. It was like having Thanksgiving dinner with a screaming banshee. And I think the little brat only ate maybe like a handful of the food that was on his plate. So it was not very fun. It was not very quiet either, which is always horrible. I mean, Thanksgiving is meant to be quiet. It's a quiet time for you to spend with your family and reflect upon the things you're thankful for. And I have a cat that never shuts up. I mean, I didn't need that from another relative either. But anyway, that's my Thanksgiving story. But it was great to spend time with my niece. I don't get to see her that often anymore. She used to live fairly close to me, but now moved about 50 miles away. So I don't get to see her as often as I like. So it was nice to see her. And I hope that you were able to catch up with some relatives or friends that you hadn't seen in quite some time and have the opportunity to spend the time with them. So, I guess my question to you is, what exactly did you do for Thanksgiving? Excuse me. Whatever it was, I still have it, folks. Please bear with me here. What was it that you did for Thanksgiving? What makes your Thanksgiving different from somebody else's Thanksgiving? Now, I have been making the Thanksgiving turkey since the late 1980s. My father awoke on Thanksgiving morning. He was always the designated turkey cooker. And he awoke with a migraine and was unable to make the turkey. Previous to us having moved to the area, my aunt would attempt, and I say attempt, to make the turkey. She would wait till the last minute. She would stick the thing in at like 425 degrees. It'd be burned on the outside and raw in the middle. And it was just absolutely horrible. So my dad was a pretty good cook. So he started making the turkey, but he put a lot of stuff in there he did that just, it did not fit with traditional Thanksgiving food. My dad used to make that kind of stuffing that some people think is absolutely awesome and everybody else thinks it's horrible. It's where you put like sausage and mushrooms and celery and carrots and everything in the stuffing. And it's just disgusting. And then on top of that, he'd take it out of the bird and then he'd put it under the broiler. It was just, oh God, it was horrible. So I had the opportunity to make the turkey one year. So I called my aunt just to find out, you know, how long I needed to cook it per pound. And she said, oh, I'll come and I'll get it. I'll make it. I said, no, don't you dare come up here and take this turkey. I don't want it ruined. I just need to know how long to cook per pound. So she told me. So I started poking around the kitchen. I hadn't made a turkey before. I was in my, I was in my late teens, I guess, early 20s. So I started poking around the kitchen to see what we had. I found some poultry seasoning and found some other things and started pouring them all over it. And when I went down there, everybody said that was the best turkey they'd ever had. I was the designated turkey cooker from there on out. So I took that initial recipe of using some vanilla and maple syrup. I refined it over the years to where I now have a very famous recipe. It is available online if you look in the right place for a maple almondined steam roasted turkey. And that is the recipe that I'm going to share with you this week. In the event that I have shared it before and I don't remember, I'm going to share it again. In the event you've never heard of it, you're going to hear it for the first time. But this is my recipe for a maple almondine steam roasted turkey. And folks, the beautiful thing about this recipe is there is no way to burn the bird. I mean, unless you leave it for 30 hours and go out of state. You cannot overcook this turkey. You cannot scorch this turkey. You cannot burn this turkey. Well, actually, you can. And I'll tell you the story of that after the break, because I did have a mishap one year. But that is a different story. So what you're going to need for the steam-roasted maple almondine turkey is, of course, a turkey. You're also going to need a foil roasting pan and foil to cover it with. Now, I prefer the non-stick foil because it's just so much easier, because you have to continually take the foil off and on and keep basting it and everything. Don't listen to people who tell you to cook the thing uncovered for 3 hours and then cover it for the last hour, because you're going to dry out your turkey. What you want to do is to get that steam into the turkey from the very beginning. Now, if you've ever had a fried turkey, you understand what I mean about even the white meat being moist. If you follow my directions for this turkey, the same thing will happen. It won't be quite as moist in the white meat as if it were fried. But folks, it's going to be darn close, and it's so much safer, and you don't need a knife to carve the turkey at the end. This is the beautiful thing. It will cook itself down to the point where it is so tender it collapses in on itself, and all you have to do is literally reach in to this massive meat, pull the bones out, and take a couple of forks and shred it like Southern pork barbecue, and your turkey is good to go. So here's what you need. You need the turkey, you need the foil pan, you need the foil. But the special ingredients that you need to make this turkey so unique, so delicious, you need some poultry seasoning. Kroger makes a very good poultry seasoning. In the event that there are no Kroger seasonings available in your area, I'm sure Durkee makes one, somebody else probably makes one. It's a poultry seasoning. A little bit of lemon pepper or lemon seasoning of some sort. You will need a full bottle, I'm talking about those little bottles, of pure almond extract. Do not, under any circumstances, get imitation flavoring. Get the real stuff. You will need, again, a full bottle of the pure almond extract. You will need a little maple syrup, a few teaspoons of maple syrup. Again, real maple syrup, not the imitation stuff. And you will need some pure vanilla extract. Over the course of this, you'll use that entire bottle of the almond extract. Not all at once, you'll keep adding it to it. Because you're going to want to put a little in any stuffing that you mix up separately so it kind of has that almondy flavor to it. But you're going to start out with a half a bottle of the almond extract. Put a teaspoon of pure vanilla extract over it, and then about a tablespoon of real maple syrup, and then dust it very heavily with the poultry seasoning and the lemon seasoning, zesty lemon, something like that, and then pour about 2 cups of water into the foil pan, cover it with foil, put it in at 325 degrees, and don't do anything for about 3 hours. After 3 hours, you can start basting it. At that point, you'll add whatever almond extract is left that hasn't gone into the external stuffing. Add that to it, keep basting it, make sure you get plenty into the stuffing that's in the bird, and continue checking it every 20 minutes and basting it so that all of that flavor gets into the meat, and it will literally steam it into the meat, folks. And you will have a maple almondine turkey that people will be begging you for the recipe. I have some friends who, over the past few years, haven't been able to do much for Thanksgiving. They've not been very well lately. And it's a shame because the husband was actually the head chef for Dale Earnhardt Enterprises years ago. And he can't cook anymore. I actually gave him the recipe 1 year, and he wasn't even able to make it. I mean, his wife said, this is not the recipe that Tommy gave us. So I've just been giving them some extra stuff from here on out for the past few years. It's not that difficult if you follow the instructions, but they have to be followed explicitly. And again, cook this thing covered from the very time you turn the oven on. After several hours, it will begin to brown even with the foil on there, but the whole time it's still going to be steaming this thing. And cook it for twice as long as they tell you to cook it per pound. So if your bird is supposed to be in there for 4 hours to be done the traditional way, figure it close to 8. Okay. Again, you will not be able to overcook the bird by doing this. And then any time after that, if you want to shut it off and just continue to let it steam down, it's just going to get more and more tender. Like a 15 or 17 pound bird, you can actually leave it in there for eight hours and then let it cool down for another 2 hours, leaving a total cook time of 10 hours. And it will be the most tender thing that you have ever tasted. Also, what you want to do is, of course, to cut up your giblets. and get that boiling very, very hard for at least 5 or 6 hours. Keep adding water to it. Just boil it really hard. Then you can peel all the meat off of the neck by hand, cut all the other organs up and get them in there. And what I like to do over the course of the year is to save other meat broths, and I mix it all in. So anytime I make boiled Italian sausage for spaghetti, the concentrate that's left over after it's been boiled down, that gets refrigerated, the grease comes up and solidifies on the top, I scrape that off, so all that's left is the concentrated broth. Do the same thing when I broil chicken or bake chicken. Boil that stuff and make a good, solid, concentrated stock. So I can literally have a half a gallon of this concentrated stock before I even add it to the stuff that's in the turkey itself. It is absolutely nothing for me, folks, to make 5 gallons of gravy at Thanksgiving. It is really good. It is so good that you can literally drink it. There's no grease in it. It's very, very mild, and it has all the robust flavor of all the different meats that are in it, as well as that wonderful maple almondine flavor. Then again, when you pour that over the mashed potatoes, they're going to have that maple almondine gravy. You pour it over the stuffing, it's going to have the maple almondine flavor in the stuffing itself, as well as in the gravy. It's in the meat. It is just absolutely wonderful. If you make it right, and you take it to somebody's house, or you invite them to your house, they will never want anyone else's turkey again. I promise you. Now, I will say, I have never tried this recipe on anything else. It's for turkey only. But I guess it would work on chicken, maple almondine chicken, or a duck. Just, folks, if you're going to make a turkey, though, make a real turkey. Don't get one of those turducken things. First of all, there's no place to pack the stuffing, which gets the wonderful flavor from all the meat juices. And second of all, a turducken, key word in there is turd, and I would not eat anything at Thanksgiving that has the word turd in it. So just keep the straight up Thanksgiving, okay, with the turkey. So I got to take a break here. When I come back, I will tell you a story about the time I did almost set the kitchen on fire at my sister's house, because there were some circumstances that allowed the bird to catch on fire. It was not my fault, mind you. And I'll explain that too. But it's kind of a funny story if you haven't heard it before. So hang tight. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase, minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, so as promised, here is my story of the one time that I did actually have a mishap making one of my turkeys. Now, this was not at Thanksgiving. This occurred at Christmas time, and it was back in the early 90s when I was going through a rather difficult time in my life. I was not very happy with the direction that life was going, was not happy with life in general, and therefore I was prone to go through bouts of moodiness. Well, one year for Christmas, I was back in my home state, and the whole family was together for Christmas, and I had suggested to my sister that I make one of my turkeys for Christmas, and she had a little turkey in the freezer. So I said, yes, that'll work. Well, I got everything that I needed. What I didn't know was it was one of those turkeys she'd gotten like on sale somewhere or gotten it free for something. This thing was just full of grease. And she put it in a pan that was way too small. So as this thing was cooking, the entire pan filled pretty much with grease. I didn't even need to add any water to it for moisture. There was just so much grease in there that it was steaming the whole turkey with grease. Not very healthy, but very, very tasty. Well, somewhere along the line, someone decided that they knew my recipe better than I did, and they uncovered my turkey. Now, folks, in the event you've never been to culinary school, one thing you don't ever, ever do is interfere with the chef's cooking, particularly if it is his or her own personal recipe. You just don't do that. Somebody did. I went to check on the turkey to baste it. Someone had taken the foil off, and I was, of course, very, very angry. So I covered it back over, and I kind of slammed the thing back into the oven. Well, when I did, all of that grease spilled, well, not all of it, but a good portion of the grease sloshed over the top of the pan and landed on the red-hot element on the bottom of the oven and immediately caught fire. If you've never seen turkey grease on fire, folks, it is amazing. There's just so much of it. So, having had proper fire training, I immediately shoved it in the rest of the way and slammed the door shut. Well, when I shoved in the rest of the way, a lot more grease spilled out, and I shut the door. There was so much fire in there, folks. There was so much grease on fire that even though the oven door was shut, flames were still coming out through the gasket on the oven. That's how much fire was in the oven. So, if you follow my recipe, as long as you don't get a cheap turkey that will splash grease, you cannot set this thing on fire. But again, there's always somebody, and in this case happened to be myself, that can find a way to do that. Well, when I slammed the oven door shut, I mean, I slammed it shut so hard that the cuckoo clock on the other side of the wall fell off. Luckily, my other sister was there and caught it before it hit the ground and did major damage. But My little sister came running in, and of course, all that fire was reflecting off the side of the white refrigerator, made it look a lot worse than it was. And my sister does not swear. I've heard her swear 3 times in my entire life, and I'm close to 50 years old. This was the second time I heard her swear, and it was in reference to somebody who came down on Christmas Day. Kind of funny looking back in retrospect. It was not funny at the time. But anyway, there was just so much fire in there, I had to leave everything shut. Well, folks, let me tell you what. There was so much smoke in that oven, that, and it was so concentrated, that it permeated the turkey. When we finally got the turkey out and carved it up, because it wasn't in there long enough to steam it, I hadn't discovered that yet at that point, the smoke had permeated the turkey. And not only did we have the maple almondine turkey, it was a smoked maple almondine turkey. Absolutely delicious, but I would definitely recommend that you not follow that portion of the recipe. Now, my niece inquired a few years ago about me making a smoked turkey. She was not aware of the story. I told her that story and told her why I was not going to be making a smoked turkey that year, and of course, she understood. But that is my story of the smoked maple almondine turkey that I made for Christmas one year, and again, will never, ever duplicate again. At least not intentionally, anyway. I mean, accidents can always happen, as they did in that case, and sometimes the best things that you learn in life come from things you did not intend to do. You may not have intended to set the kitchen on fire, but maybe you learned a really good lesson, as I did, what not to do. Sometimes learning what not to do is even more important than learning what to do, folks. So that's what makes us evolve as we get older, and our IQs increase because we go through life and we learn from life's experiences. There are just some things that cannot be taught to you in a university. You have to learn from life itself. And that is what, in the end, will make you a much smarter person than someone who comes out of a university with a degree and thinks they know everything there is to know. The day you think you know everything there is to know in your field, it's time to quit or retire. Because at that point, you have stopped learning. You don't want to learn anymore, and therefore you won't, and you will end up making a grave mistake. Well, folks, that concludes this episode of Freedom Rings, the week after Thanksgiving, kind of a retrospect, looking back. I really would have liked to have done this show last week, to go out before Thanksgiving, but being that it aired just the day before Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving Day itself, it was a little too late. I probably should have done it the week before. Silly me, I will probably do that next year. I may even re-air this whole episode for Thanksgiving next year. Not really sure. We'll find out. If it sounds familiar next year, you'll know that that's exactly what I did. But anyway, I hope that you all had a very wonderful, safe, and happy Thanksgiving. Have a very safe holiday season, and by holiday season, I mean Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, not all the other made-up holidays in between. So until next week, my friends, if you want to get in touch with me, you may always do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Till next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.